my life.
Inu aye mi,
I will be done.
Ife ti re ni ki a se.
Is anybody like that here?
Yari eni be ni.
Let me hear you say it loud and clear.
Boku so lokoro.
That every one of you from now on you will begin to excel.
Amen.
Who is the one fellow that you will stand beside him or her and say, you are the one who will get my attention?
Allows you to enter into overflowing blessings.
Redemption Way.
Somebody shout hallelujah.
Welcome you especially to the Open Heavens International Center. I tell you that I had several encounters with God in that house.
Let somebody shout me.
The anointing in that house is awesome.
Jesus, the Son of God, I believe in you, I believe in you. Jesus, the Son of God, I believe.
Hey!
Almighty God, and bless his holy name. Lift your hands to him
and worship him, worship the King of Kings, worship the Lord of Lords, bless his holy name. He's worthy to be praised, he's worthy to be adored. Give him glory, give him honor, give him adoration. There's no one like him. Bless him. Bless the Ancient of Days. Give him glory. Give him honor. Give him adoration. What a glorious God you are. Oh Lord, may your name forever be glorified. May your name forever be glorified. Ancient of Days, may your name forever be glorified. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we have worshipped. Then you lift your voice to him and say, Father, please speak to me tonight. Go ahead, talk to the Almighty God. Speak to me, Lord. Speak to me directly. Almighty God, speak to me tonight. Let me hear from you. Let me hear from you tonight. That your name might be glorified in my life. Let me hear from you tonight. Thank you, Almighty God. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. I want you to lift your voice to God and say, Father, all those who are in sorrow now, please comfort them. Let's talk to the Almighty God. All those who are in sorrow at this moment, Father, comfort them. Comfort them. Comfort them. Comfort them. All those who are in sorrow at this moment, wherever they may be, all over the world, please comfort them. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. And lift our voices to him and say, Father, in all our homes, let there be no more tragedies. Go ahead, talk to the Almighty. No more tragedies, Lord. In all our homes, no more tragedies. Please, Lord God Almighty, in all our homes, let there be no more tragedies. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. The Lord is going to surprise someone here tonight.
Join Pastor E.A. Adeboye and other men of God every first Friday of the month as they lead multitudes of worshippers to the presence of God in the monthly Holy Ghost service at the Redemption Camp, Kilometer 46, Lagos Ibadan Expressway, from 6:30 p.m. to dawn.
Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Not all success is good. Proverbs chapter 1 verse 32. Proverbs 1:32 tells us that if prosperity is put in the hand of a fool, the prosperity will destroy him. He said, the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. So there is a kind of success that can even bring destruction. You will never get that kind of success in Jesus' name. And not all success lasts. That's important. Study the scriptures very well. You discover something about Solomon. He started well. He was very wealthy at a stage. At a stage, the Bible said he was heaping up gold as ordinary stones. Silver was dumped in his backyard. But if you read 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 1 to 4, 1 Kings 12, verse 1 to 4, you will discover that towards the end of his life, because his resources had become seriously depleted, he had to tax the people heavily to be able to sustain his lavish lifestyle. That's why when his son came on the throne, the people came to his son, Rehoboam, and said, listen, we were groaning under your father. Will you please make our ties lighter? Unfortunately, the young man came back and said, you haven't seen anything yet. He said, I'm going to make things much, much difficult for you. So the people say, in that case, unto your house, O Israel. I pray for you one more time. That blessing that will not last will never come your way. So when God said, if you do the following, you will have good success, it tells you straight away that there are successes and there are successes. Some success can be good, some can be bad. And he said, if you want your own success to be good, this book of the law, the Bible, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate upon it day and night, to observe and to do all that is written therein. He said, if you study the Bible very well, you meditate on it, and you do what is written in it, he said, your success is guaranteed. For example, if you study the Bible, you discover that in Job 36 verse 11, Job 36 verse 11, he said, if you will obey and serve the Lord, then you will spend your days in prosperity and your years in pleasure. If you will obey and serve the Lord, then you have nothing to worry about. He said, all your days you will be spending it in prosperity, your years you will be spending it in pleasure. When you read Psalm 34 verse 12 to 14, Psalm 34 verse 12 to 14, David said, do you want to live long and enjoy good days? And this is one thing to live long. It's another thing to live long and enjoy it. He spelled out certain things you must do. Number one, he said, watch your tongue. Keep your tongue from evil. Proverbs 18 verse 21 says, death and life
are in the power of the tongue. Number two, he said, you yourself depart from evil. Job chapter 20, verse 28. Job 20, verse 28, he said, hey, by the fear of God, men depart from evil. When he said depart from evil, he said, fear God, fear God. If you fear God, then according to Psalm 111, verse 10, that means be wise. Don't be a fool. You want to live long, you want to enjoy good days, watch your mouth, fear God and depart from evil. Number three, he said, do good. Do good because of the law of harvest. The law of harvest says whatever you sow, you will reap. You do good, you will reap good. Then he says, seek peace. Proverbs 16 verse 7 tells you how to seek peace. Proverbs 16 verse 7. He says, when a man's ways please God, it will cause even his enemies to be at peace with him. I pray for every one of you here tonight. All your enemies from now will be at peace with you in Jesus' name. But he said, don't just seek peace. He said, you are to pursue it. Isaiah 48 verse 18 tells you what to do, so that for the rest of your life you'll be at peace. Because it is one thing to succeed, it's another thing to have peace. Isaiah 48 verse 18 says, if only you will hearken to the voice of the Almighty God, you listen to him, do what he asks you to do, he said your peace will be like a river. Good success. I've had the opportunity of being close to wealthy people, and I meet some people who are extremely wealthy. And I'm telling you, brethren, not all wealthy people are happy people. Some people are wealthy and sad. Some are wealthy and sick. I mean, I had a friend. He's dead now. When he died, in his account in Australia, we're not talking of the account in England or America or Switzerland, Australia. In his account in Australia, there were $68 million that he left in Australia. But do you know what? The only food he can eat is milk. I don't have $68 million. Any in Australia, not to talk of anywhere, but give me pounded yam. And you will see the glory of God. Let somebody shout hallelujah. What is the use of having money if you can't eat? What is the use of being called big if you can't enjoy what ordinary people can enjoy? There are some very wealthy people. If you see the list of what the doctor said they must never touch, you will thank God that, God, thank you that, well, I'm not rich, but I can go when I want to go. Glory be to God. Good success has many facets. We could be talking about prosperity without adversity. Prosperity without adversity. We could be talking about promotion without the possibility of demotion. It's better never to be promoted than to be promoted today and demoted tomorrow. We could be talking about deliverance without relapse. Some people were delivered once, but things relapsed. We could be talking about healing without a scar, healing without a residue. We can be talking about victory without the possibility of a future defeat. We can be talking about anointing that will never dry up. Anointing that lasts forever. And then, of course, we can be talking about salvation without backsliding. We could talk about several other things, but let me quickly go over these seven ones that I've mentioned. Prosperity without adversity. Proverbs chapter 10 verse 22. Proverbs 10 verse 22 says, "The blessings of the Lord make it rich and added no sorrows." In the name of the one who made heaven and earth, your blessings will be without sorrows. But that depends on you. Because, I mean, the Bible is full of examples of those who receive blessings from the Lord, and then the blessing turned to sorrow. The classical example is Ephraim. You know the story of Ephraim? When his grandfather wanted to bless him, and Manasseh, his senior elder brother, the father transferred the blessing of the elder brother to the younger, Ephraim. And within years, Ephraim prospered 10 times more than his elder brother. 10 times more. But he ignored God. So that by the time we got to Hosea chapter 4 verse 17, Hosea 4 verse 17, God said, "Ephraim has joined himself to idols. Leave him alone." And then God said, in Hosea chapter 5 verse 9, Hosea 5 verse 9, he said, Ephraim shall be desolate. The blessing that God has pronounced on you will never become a curse. How do you have prosperity without adversity? The blessings of the Lord make it rich, but are there no sorrows with it? However, don't forget God. Because he says in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 17 and 18, Deuteronomy 8, 17 and 18, he says, "Hey, when prosperity comes, when you begin to live in houses you didn't build, you begin to drink of wells you didn't dig, when wealth begins to change hands, don't begin to say that it is the power of my hand that has got me this wealth." He said, you must remember it is God who gives you power to get wealth. You want his blessings to last? You want his prosperity to be without adversity? Don't forget who is the one prospering you. And I do show him that you don't forget him. You put him first in everything. Malachi chapter 3. Read it from verse 8 to 10. Malachi 3, 8 to 10. He says, if you rob him of his tithe, he said, he will place a curse on you. He said, but if you bring all the tithes into his house, he will open the windows of heaven and pour you a blessing so that there won't be enough room to contain. Put him first.
Genesis 22, verse 1 to 18. Genesis 22, verse 1 to 18. When God gave a test to Abraham, he said, let's find out. I gave you a son in your old age. I know you love him. Let's find out whether you love him more than you love me. He said, go and sacrifice him to me. Abraham obeyed. But before he could kill the boy, God intervened. And then God said, because you have done this, because you have shown me that you fear me more than your son, you put me first. He said, I swear, your blessing will be irreversible. When we talk to you about first fruit, and you think maybe it is a pastor's way of making money, you are making a great mistake. When you put God first, he makes sure that your blessing will be irreversible. Put him second, and then you will see what will follow. I've told you several stories. There are many, many I could tell you. May I remind you of just one? One young man came to me and said, Daddy, God has answered your prayers. I said, Amen. What happened? He said, one big chief called him in Lagos and said, I want you to help me sell this, my house. The house had 13 flats, 12 of them regular flats, and then a penthouse on top. The chief said, all I want is so much money. How much you sell it, that's your own lookout. He said, Daddy, God has answered your prayers. Said, from that deal alone, I'm settled for life. I said, congratulations. 13 flats. He said, yes. I said, good. That means we'll give one of the flats to the church. He said, why? I said, at least tithe of 13 will be 1.3. But since we can't have 0.3 of a flat, so a flat. Ah. He said, this is first breakthrough now. Let God wait. I'm happy you said ha. But some of you are like that. A week later, he has got a buyer ready to pay far, far above what the owner wanted. Then he went back to the man and said, sir, I'm ready to pay now. What you ask for? Where do I pay? The one said, what are you talking about? Your house that you asked me to sell, I've got a buyer. The money is settled now. Just tell me where you want me to send the check. The man said, whatever charm you use on me has been destroyed. Who told you I want to sell my house?
You're watching Redemption Way.
Number two, promotion without possibility of demotion. It is better never to have been promoted than to have reached the top and then be demoted. And you have several examples. King Saul, in 1 Samuel 15, you can read it from verse 1 to 30. King Saul was a nobody until the Almighty God grabbed him and turned him to a king. He became a king and stopped obeying God. God said, fine, I made you the king, I remove you as king. You know, many a times when we read 1 Samuel chapter 2, we love to quote verse 8. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 8, we say, oh, the Almighty God is able to pick up a beggar from the dunghill and raise him up until he begins to sit among princes.
I always say to my friends, why don't you read verse 7? Verse 7 comes before verse 8. He said the Almighty God raises up and he brings down. He can lift up one and bring down another. The Bible says promotion comes from God. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. He raises up one, he brings down another. Verse 8, he then picks up a beggar from the dunghill and takes him to sit among princes. Don't forget who promotes you. Once you don't forget your promoter, then you can stay forever on top. Consider David, for instance. One day, David was dancing, praising God. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 14 to 22. 2 Samuel 6, 14 to 22. He didn't say because he was a king, so he would dance very gently. You know, a king must be kingly. David said, that's fine. I can be kingly in my palace, but when I'm in the presence of the Almighty God, when I'm dancing for God, I want to dance. And the wife saw him dancing and said, I thought you were a king. Look at the way you've been dancing. How can you dance like that, like an ordinary man? You know what David said? He said, I'm dancing for the one who made me king. He said, woman, you haven't seen anything yet. I'm dancing for the one who took the kingdom from your father and gave it to me. I've not danced yet. You wait and see what will follow. One day the Almighty God said to David in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 1 to 16. 2 Samuel chapter 1. Chapter 7, 2 Samuel 7, verse 1 to 16. God said, David, your kingdom shall be forever. He said, you will never lack somebody to sit on your throne. I'm sure you know that today Jesus Christ is called the Son of David, the King of Kings himself. David got that position because he didn't forget the one who made him king. When I got born again, I was already a lecturer at the University of Lagos. And I realized how close to her I was. With all my academic knowledge, I saw the goodness of God in my life. So I just thought, what can I do? What can I do? At least to show this God publicly that I appreciate what he's done for me. So I got permission from my father in the Lord that at least once a year during the convention, they will allow me to sing and dance and recite Ewe, Yoruba poetry. That's the origin of Ewe, drawing convention. And he said, go ahead. So I began to do it. And then I became general overseer. And somebody came to me and said, you are a father now. There are things that little children should do. Where you put it, I don't know how to put it in English. He said in Yoruba, when you are an elder, you must sit down like an elder. Let your children do the singing. You sit down. I say, thank you very much. As long as my two legs can carry me, as long as my voice can still be heard, I will sing, I will dance for the one who made me the general overseer. I will praise him. I don't know about you. Is anybody here who will praise him forever? deliverance without relapse. And we're talking about good success. We're talking about deliverance without relapse. It's a terrible thing for someone to have been delivered before, and then we say the thing relapsed. Jesus Christ said so in Matthew chapter 12, verse 43 to 45. Matthew 12, 43 to 45. Thank you, Father. The Lord said there is someone here tonight. He said, I observed the way you praised me. He said, I will make sure you always have something to praise me about. Matthew 12, verse 43 to 45. Jesus Christ said, if an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he will be going through the dry places looking for somewhere to rest. When he can't find a place, he will say, let me go and check my old house. When he comes to the old house and finds it empty, then he will say, oh, I met other evil spirits while I was going around. They too have no house. Then he will go and bring seven of them. And he said the end of the man would then be worse than the beginning. I pray for every one of us that God has delivered from forces of darkness. Our deliverance will be permanent in Jesus' name. What about healing without any leftover? Many a times, when you go to the hospital for a particular problem, that problem may be solved, but there are almost invariably some side effects. I used to be a victim of malaria fever, and I had an uncle who was a very, very good doctor. He's gone to be with the Lord now. And he would tell me, for your fever, take this, take this, take this. And I would take it and the fever would go. But then later on, I would have a little bit of stomach discomfort. And I would go to him, fever is gone, but what about this? He said, oh, that's the side effect of the medicine you have taken. But there is a God who can heal you without any side effect, and he will give you permanent healing today in Jesus' name. In 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1 to 14, 2 Kings 5, verse 1 to 14, when God healed Naaman, the Bible said his skin returned to him as that of a new baby. There were no scars left, no sign at all that he ever had leprosy. There is a God who can guarantee that once he heals you, you will remain healed. Because Exodus 15 verse 26, Exodus 15 verse 26 says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. If you will hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and to do all I command you, he said, I will make sure no disease will come upon you. It is possible to be healed and remain healthy forever. And I'm praying for all of us who are here tonight, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, after tonight, no more ache, no more pain in Jesus' name. You want your healing to be permanent? Humble yourself, follow instructions to the letter, testify, and of course, serve God till the end. And then, what about victory without a defeat? Victory is no good if it's going to be followed by defeat. Victory loses its value if it is followed by defeat. I used to be a boxer, and I'm telling you, nobody wants to be called ex-champion. The best thing is to be called the undefeated champion. And I decree to you in the name that's above every other name, for the rest of your life, you'll be an undefeated champion. Look at the example of Joshua. In Joshua chapter 6, verse 20, Joshua 6, verse 20, he led the children of Israel. They shouted, they made just one shout, and the wall of Jericho fell. Then we go to Joshua chapter 7, and they came against a small town called Ai, and the people of the town chased them and slaughtered 46 of them. Joshua, who was lifting his head high, shouting, "There's nobody like me. God, you are great." He fell on his face. Because when victory is followed by defeat, the victory loses its value. So what do I do so that I be victorious all the time? Number one is to make sure that I'm not my own enemy. Because the most dangerous enemy of all is when you are your own enemy. What about anointing that will never run dry? It is better never to be anointed than to have an anointing that will run dry. Anointing is wonderful. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27. Isaiah 10, verse 27 says, anointing destroys yokes. Anointing makes you untouchable. 2 Kings chapter 1, verse 9 to 12. Anointing makes you untouchable. 2 Kings chapter 1, verse 9 to 12. When the enemies came and they said they wanted to arrest Elijah, he roasted them. And if the enemy said they have grabbed you, they can't hold you. Judges 15, verse 14 to 15. Judges 15, verse 14 to 15. When they brought Samson bound to the Philistines, and the anointing of God came upon him, the fire of God destroyed every yoke, and it is 1,000 of the enemies that perished. But if anointing dries up, then the anointed becomes a victim in the hand of the enemy. Judges chapter 16, verse 8 to 16, 8 to 21. Let's just take 18 to 21. Judges 16, verse 18 to 21. When Samson lost his contact with God, the enemy took him and plucked out his eyes. I pray for every one of you here tonight. The anointing of God upon your life will never run dry in Jesus' name. How do I make sure that my anointing will never run dry? All you have to do is stay connected. Stay connected to the Almighty God. Stay connected to the source of the anointing. If you go into deliverance ministry, for God's sake, be holy. Because every demon you cast out is going to report you to the devil. And the devil will say, I know, leave him alone now, he's hot.
But keep watching him. If he ever becomes cold, then we will deal with him. The fire of the Almighty God that is surrounding each and every one of you will never go out in Jesus' name. What about salvation? Salvation without backsliding. It is better never to have been saved than to be saved and then backslide. There's nothing as terrible as being an ex-Christian. 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20 to 22 says that when somebody has been saved before and he backslides, it is as if a dog went back to his vomit. That's a horrible picture. When someone who used to be a child of the Most High God, you said, I will never go back into sin, I'm not going to lie anymore, I won't fornicate anymore, I'm not going to drink anymore, I'm not going to smoke anymore, and then you backslide and go back to that thing, he said, it's like a dog who vomited. And then after some time, I said, well, even vomit is food. That's why David cried. David knew the pain of someone who has lost salvation in Psalm 51. If you read from verse 11 to 12, Psalm 51, verse 11 to 12, one of the things he cried for, he said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. I pray that every backslider will come back to Jesus Christ tonight in Jesus' name. What do I do so that I will never backslide? Philippians chapter 2 verse 12. Philippians chapter 2 verse 12 says, you are to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Whatever you do, brother, whatever you do, sister, don't lose your salvation. Whatever the temptation that the devil may bring across your way, tell the devil, I cannot afford to lose my salvation.
There is a Redeemed Christian Church of God very close to you. Join them for a life-changing experience in worship. On this same station at this time next week for another wonderful experience as Pastor E.A. Adeboye exposes the deep mysteries in the Word of God.